From the Love Worth Finding Studios in Memphis, Tennessee, I'm Byron Tyler here with Carrie Vaughn, the CEO of Love Worth Finding. Carrie, we're finishing up the month of February with Adrian Rogers in a series called Unwrapping Your Spiritual Gift. Now, he's already covered two messages. One, you are somebody in his body, and the other, you are a gifted child. Both are available at lwf.org or the MyLWF app.
You know, as a member of the body of Christ, you are a very important part of God's kingdom. And you'll only function as God intended when we use our spiritual gifts. In this series, Adrian Rogers is going to present a full overview of all spiritual gifts and how it will help you discover how to use your gift to serve God. Adrian Rogers says, they're not toys, they're tools. They're not for your enjoyment, but they're for your employment.
Well, Carrie, there's not a lot of teaching out there on spiritual gifts, and Adrian Rogers tells us why this series is so vital for us and the church.
Well, first of all, we're dealing with something that is a very wonderful and perhaps somewhat unknown subject. You know, Paul said, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant, but I believe there are a lot of people who are saturated with ignorance when it comes to spiritual gifts. And there have been so many excesses concerning spiritual gifts that some are afraid they're going to get out on a limb and they never really even get up in the tree. So what I want us to do is to discover our gift, to develop our gift and put our gift to work for Jesus. And at that moment or during that time, a Christian will find such joy, and it will be the joy of feeling useful, feeling used, and being fulfilled in the service of Christ. And so this series ought to be a real blessing.
Well, Carrie, today's message is learning to love, and we'll be looking at the great love chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
You know, interesting note, in most of the messages in the series, Adrian Rogers will go down the list of spiritual gifts a few at a time. This is the only gift that gets its own message. We asked him why.
Well, love is the preeminent gift. Really, that's what 1 Corinthians 13 is all about. Some have wondered why 1 Corinthians 13, which is that incredible paean of praise to love, is inserted between 1 Corinthians 12 and 14, dealing with spiritual gifts. And what Paul is saying is, no matter what gift an individual has, if he or she does not have love, what does it really amount to? And so love is the quintessential, the primary attribute of a child of God. God is love, and when we are in Him and He is in us, love will be so evident.
Carrie, this month's ministry offer takes us to our series of Foundations for Our Faith, which has been through the book of Romans, and it is a great resource.
It's one of my favorites. It's a great Bible study entitled More Than Conquerors. You know, are we just surviving life until we go to heaven? Are we just getting through the motions without any real victory? This month, we're offering an 8-week Bible study on the book of Romans. Again, entitled More Than Conquerors, it's based on the lessons from the series Foundations for Our Faith from Adrian Rogers.
Well, can you flesh out maybe some of the differences between a Bible study and a book?
Absolutely. There'll be questions for you to answer after each reading, specific things for you to put into practice, things that we can apply the very next day. I really like that. All of this can be done individually or within a small group. If you'll call this month, give any amount at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. You can also give online at lwf.org/radio. Before we go to the worship center, we have time for one more word from Adrian Rogers on spiritual gifts.
Absolutely. Spiritual gifts are God's salvation gift to His children. And to say that a person is saved is tantamount to saying that that person is a gifted person. Gifts are different, as we're going to learn, from talents. Talents are natural. Gifts are supernatural. Many times they coincide. But I can say to you, precious friend, whoever you are a gifted child.
With today's message, Learning to Love, Part 1, here's Adrian Rogers.
Take God's Word and find 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you would. If you've been a Christian very long, you know this is an epic chapter in the Word of God. It's a paean of praise to love. Tonight we're thinking on this subject, learning to love.
What the world needs now is love beyond the shadow of any doubt. Love, more love, and much love. This 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, I'm going to say something profound, so listen carefully, is stuck between chapter 12 and chapter 14. Now, really, in a sense, there's a lot of meaning to that. Because if you've studied 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14, you know they deal with what? Spiritual gifts. Now, why, in the middle of dealing with spiritual gifts, would the Apostle Paul give us an entire chapter on love? Well, you see, the Corinthian church was high on an emphasis upon gifts, especially the more showy gifts, like prophecy and tongues and miracles and healings. But they were at a deficit in this matter of love. Somehow they got to thinking they were super saints and better than others because they were exhibiting what they considered to be some of the more showy gifts. So right in the middle of this, in order to set them straight, Paul teaches them about love. The mark of a Spirit-filled person is not a spiritual gift. You can be a baby Christian and have a spiritual gift. As a matter of fact, every baby Christian has spiritual gifts. If you're a Christian, you have a spiritual gift. You may not have even discovered your gift, but it is yours. So some spiritual gift, no matter whether it's a showy gift like performing miracles or whether it's a humble gift like service, that spiritual gift is not a sign that you are a spiritual person. The mark that you're a spiritual person is not the gifts of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit. And as God describes the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, He begins with this, the fruit of the Spirit, and what's the first quality? Love. And the rest flow out of that. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, we've heard that love makes the world go round. I'm not sure about that, but friend, it sure does make the trip worthwhile. If you're going to be on this world, you've got to have love if you're going to have any sense of joy, victory, and service that counts. And the love is a commodity that is rare today. And it's because we live in such a wicked world. And Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Have you found yourself hesitating to stop by the side of the road and help somebody with a flat tire? Have you found that you're careful about inviting somebody in your house if they come and knock on your door and say, my battery is dead, do you have any jumper cables? Or somebody stops and says, could you give me directions to a certain place? Don't you feel that you're a little careful about that? And you don't want to do that. Why? Because there's so much iniquity in the world. There's so much sin in the world. And the word iniquity here literally means lawlessness. Lawlessness abounds. And so we have abounding lawlessness and abating love. There was a bishop. His name was Bishop Usher. And he lived in Ireland. And he was shipwrecked off the coast of Ireland, made his way to the shore, found a clergyman, and asked the clergyman if he would take him in. The clergyman looked him up and down and said, well, who are you? And he said, well, I am Archbishop Usher. And this minister looked at him, and he didn't look much like an archbishop, bedraggled and wet. And he said, how do I know that you are the archbishop that you say that you are? I'm going to give you a Bible test and see if you can pass the test. And if you can pass the test, I'll give you all the help you need. Archbishop Usher said, all right. And so the preacher said to the archbishop, how many commandments are there? And the archbishop said, there are 11. He said, you are an imposter. He said, if you can name an 11th commandment, I'll give you all the help you need. And he quoted what the apostle John said, a new commandment give I unto you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. And he said, come in, you know the Bible better than I do. Love is such a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful and necessary thing. I believe in a church, it is the attracting element in our church. They asked a little boy one time, why do you pass so many churches to go to a particular church? He said, because they love a fellow over there. Now let's read this 13th chapter. I'm going to read the entire chapter, and then I'm going to come back and say three basic things about this entire chapter. Here's what the Apostle Paul says about love. Now, Let me say that I'm reading from the King James Version of the Scriptures. And so here in the King James, the word charity is used. Now, it is not used in the sense that we use it today, that is, of helping those who are needy, though we ought to do that and to show charity today. The word here means love, so I'm going to substitute love each time I read charity. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. Notice he's talking there about spiritual gifts, the gift of prophecy and the gift of knowledge and the gift of faith. This is in the context of spiritual gifts. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. The Corinthians were envying one another's gifts, and those who had the more showy gifts were strutting their stuff. But he says, love envieth not and vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. Love seeketh not her own. They were trying to use gifts as tools, not toys. Love is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth. But whether they be prophecies, they shall fail. And whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. The Corinthians were childish Christians. Paul had to say, I cannot speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. They were bickering, acting like children. And Paul said, when I was a child, he's talking now in an analogy, that's the way I was in the natural world. I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. He's saying to the Corinthians, stop acting like big babies. For now we see through a glass darkly. The word glass means mirror. Now, the mirrors of that day were not like our highly polished mirrors of today. And so you saw, but you didn't see real clearly. But then face to face, now I know in part. He's talking here about the gift of knowledge. But then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. Now, three things I want to lay on your heart as we consider learning love. And the first is the excelling values of love. The excelling values of love. And he's telling us what love excels. And he's saying in verse 1 that love excels, is more valuable than oratory. Look at it. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm nothing. The world has heard enough loveless sermons. The world has heard enough showy gifts. And I told you the mark of a Spirit-filled life is not speaking in a foreign tongue, but controlling the one tongue that you have and letting the law of love be in that tongue. So love is more valuable than oratory, verse 1. In verse 2, love is more valuable than prophecy. If you have the gift of prophecy, look at it. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith and so forth and have not love. Now, you may have the gift of prophecy and can split a theological hair in 16 equal divisions, but if you don't have love, what good is that? I know people have heaven on their mind, but hell in their heart. What good is that? And then he says in verse 2 that love is more valuable than knowledge, and though I have all knowledge, what good is it to have a bright head if you don't have a right heart? People are not all that interested in us unloading theological facts on them. I have to watch myself when I preach. Am I just unloading information? Or is the love of Jesus Christ coming through my heart? Now, I believe in knowledge. And the Bible says we're to study to show ourselves approved unto God, and we are to thank God if we have the spiritual gift of knowledge. Love is more valuable than oratory. Love is more valuable than prophecy. Love is more valuable than knowledge. Love is more valuable even than faith. Look at it in verse 2. And he says, though I have faith and have not love, I am nothing. Now, faith is important. You can't get to heaven without trusting the Lord. But what he's saying is this, what good is it if you have faith so that you can remove mountains and you can't remove malice? If your heart is headquarters for hate, then he says, you are a zero. You're nothing. Love is more valuable than giving to the poor, what we call charity. Look in verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor and give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. We've often heard that you can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And a lot of giving is giving instead of ourselves rather than of ourselves. And I could preach a message and take an offering and get some money from loveless hearts. And in heaven's record, it amounts to nothing. Love is greater than giving to charity. Love is even greater than martyrdom. He says, though I give my body to be burned. Did you know that you can die for your religion and still not have love? There are a lot of people today who are terrorists, who are on suicide missions in the name of religion. Do you know why they do that? Do you know why they don't love other people? Because they don't love themselves. A lot of false cults are based on zeal, but not on love. A man may not fear dying because he really doesn't know what living is. And he doesn't know living if he doesn't know love. So in the first section here of this chapter, he's talking about the excelling values of love. Love is greater than oratory, prophecy, knowledge. It is greater than faith. It is greater than charity. It is greater than martyrdom. It is greater than any spiritual gift, that is love. Now, let's move from the values of love to the virtues of love. He tells us why love is so valuable. What are the virtues of love? What are the enabling virtues of love? Well, love enables us to be patient. Look, if you will, in verse 4. He says here in verse 4, love suffereth long. You see, love is not blind. Love doesn't see people as having no faults. Love is not blind. Literally, love sees more. But love forgives. Love forgives 70 times 7. Real love is not giving people what they deserve. It's giving people what they need. Love enables us to be patient. It endures. Love enables us to be kind. Look again in verse 4 of this same chapter. Love suffereth long and is kind. What is kindness? It is reacting to people with love. A woman told a preacher, you have brought me to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And the preacher said, well, I'm grateful for that. I like to know how God uses me. What was it that I preached that brought you to Christ? And she said, it was nothing that you preached. She said, I was standing around when somebody criticized you to your face. And I watched you respond to that person with kindness. And I knew that what you had was real. Kindness. Love is kind. Now, a lot of folks who are religious but not necessarily kind, that's the reason a little girl prayed, Lord, make all the bad people good and all the good people nice. We need to be nice. Love enables us to be patient. It enables us to be kind. It enables us not to envy. Look in verse 4 again. Love envieth not. Now, envy and love don't dwell in the same heart. You want to tell you whether or not you have love? If somebody else is being blessed and you rejoice, then you have love. If you cringe when other people are being praised, there's no love in your heart. You think that somebody else's gain somehow is your loss. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30 says, a sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones. Love enables us to be humble. A big head and a big heart are never in the same person. Look in verse 4. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Love and pride don't dwell in the same heart. Do you know why there are church fusses sometimes? Do you know why husbands and wives squabble sometime? Let me give you a verse of scripture. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, only by pride cometh contention. Only by pride. There's never been a war, never been a squabble, never been a fuss, never been a division that was not caused by pride. Pride and love are in opposition one to another. There are no problems too big to solve. They're just people too small to solve them. We could solve the problem if we'd attack the problem rather than one another. Jonathan Edwards, who was a great preacher in the Great Awakening, said this. He said, there's nothing that puts a man so much out of the devil's reach as genuine humility. And it is love that enables us to be humble. Love is not puffed up. And then he says again in verse 5 that love is courteous. Look at it. He doesn't use the word courteous, but he says, love doth not behave itself unseemly. It doesn't do weird, strange things. Manners are just love and little things. And even in marriage. Do you remember when you were dating your wife and head over heels in love with her before you were married and you opened the car door for her? Now, if a man opens the car door, one of two things is new, the wife or the car. Remember when you were there in the restaurant and your foot happened to touch her foot and you said, oh, I'm sorry, did I, forgive me? And now you do it and you say, you know, get your number 14s out of the way. What is the difference? What is the difference? Love can say please. Love can say thank you. Love is courteous. It doesn't behave itself unseemly. Love is unselfish. Look again in verse 5. The Bible says, love seeketh not her own. A loving person doesn't say, well, I know my rights. Bill Gothard has wisely said, teach a man his rights and you have a revolution. Teach him his responsibilities and you have a revival. What can cause us to forego our rights and take up our responsibilities except genuine love? Love is not irritable. Look again in verse 5, if you will, of this same chapter as he describes. We're just talking about the virtues of love. Love is not easily provoked. Do you have a hair trigger? Or do you one that just flies off the handle, easily irritated? One blot that stands out in an otherwise wonderful Christian is this irritability, this flying off the handle. Years ago, when I was working my way through school, there was a deacon in our church who hired me to work for him. I thought he was one of the most wonderful men that I'd ever known. And upon an occasion, I saw this man get so angry, I can still remember it. He picked up a tool and threw it all the way across the room, muttering something that I would not want to repeat. I was so hurt because I looked up to him. He was a leader in our church, and I was just a young person. And I thought, how sad that this man is so easily provoked. And I've seen in my own life the times when I've taken my eyes off the Lord and gotten provoked, and the Holy Spirit has reminded me, Adrian, the reason you did that is because that's what you were full of. What spills out is what you're full of. We need to learn to drown insults in a river of love and learn that a bad temper is something we never lose by losing our temper.
And coming up tomorrow, we'll hear part two of this important message from Adrian Rogers. If you'd like to learn more about how to cultivate a faith that flourishes, check out our Grow Your Faith page at the website where you can get grounded and dig deeper in God's Word. Go to lwf.org/radio and click the tab that says Grow Your Faith. We can't wait to hear from you today. Well, thanks for studying in God's Word with us today. If you want to partner with us in sharing these timeless messages, consider becoming an ambassador of the Word. You can learn more about that at the website, lwf.org/radio. And join us tomorrow for the powerful conclusion of Learning to Love, right here on Love Worth Finding.